It's October 1st, 2015, and 16% is the new 17%. I'm Colin Detmar.
And I'm Emily Dalton, and this is Bottle Crow, a Dota 2 podcast.
We are getting to record it in person for once, which is a nice change of pace. I hope it leads to slightly better sound quality. And can't promise better conversation quality. That's not on the table.
Sorry, man.
It's been a rough time for Dota, Emily.
Yeah, I've seen the numbers.
I believe we're down 16% for users in this last month. Is that right?
That's what I saw.
Why do you think that is?
Heroes of the Storm. No. No, actually, because the last game you and I played together, trying to play ARDM, the game threw everybody out at the beginning. Someone else on our team assured us that this happens every game. And then every hero model with cosmetics was hysterically bugged out. I think it's because Reborn is a trash fire. What do you think?
I think that's a big part of it, you know? I mean, there's sort of... this time of year, everything always kind of drops a little bit. You know, the international is over. People are going back to school. There's a lot of factors that make people maybe take a little bit of a break from Dota. But I'm not affected by any of those factors, and many times in the last month, I have been like, I should play Dota. Eesh, no, I shouldn't. Just, you know, you go, like, it's like, oh, let me make sure that, like, see what the patch is, the latest patch. It's like, fixed issue where you couldn't click on heroes. It's like, oh, well, at least they fixed that, and you scroll down to comments, and it's like, no, they didn't. It's like, oh.
Well, they changed it a little. Yeah.
Just, like, it gets in the way of me playing Dota. And I there are obviously people more hardcore about Dota than me, but here I am recording a Dota 2 podcast. I think I am fairly in deep. It's just, it's a scary time to play the game. It's very weird.
Yeah, I've definitely been playing less also. And we were trying to explain last night to my sweetheart, who asked us, why is it down so much? Like, well, and he's saying, why would they push out Resource 2 if it's not ready? Like, that's a great question. That's a really good question.
Yeah.
I wish we had a good answer.
Yeah, I don't know how they thought this was going to go. And with the Fall Major coming up, I hope that's enough to inspire them to... if they put on the Fall Major and it's a buggy mess on a big stage with millions of dollars on the line, that will be public humiliation. And I think that's enough maybe that Valve would get their shit together, but I guess I don't know that for sure.
I hope so. I'd like to play more Dota.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. And I don't know. I mean, I guess the other thing that makes me think maybe that's possible is 6.85 was a fairly subdued patch.
Mm-hmm.
And... like, part of that is they don't want to shake things up too much before the major. But I think a bigger part of it is just, like, we're not implementing new features right now. Are you high? It's on fire.
Yeah. Sigh.
Yeah. It's been really rough. And I don't know, like, stuff like ARDM being broken, like, they don't really care.
Yeah.
That's a bummer, but, like... Their policy with Source 1 Dota 2 was always like, if, you know, all pick is working, then we're fine. And, yeah, and Captain's, but, you know, like the normal Dota. If normal Dota is working, if ability draft or ARDM is kind of broken, they don't really care that much. And hopefully they will aim a little higher, but if at least we can get to the point where normal Dota works better, then that's...
that would be great.
Yeah, that would be nice. I don't know. I mean, have you encountered any bugs specifically?
I mean, hitboxes seem kind of weird. I'm not the only person to say that. I've seen bugged out couriers, like just error message couriers. I guess it was ARDM, but didn't you have it so that one of Disruptor's spells was invisible?
Uh-huh, yeah.
That's a good one.
That was a Static Storm, and whenever I would cast that, it's just, he would say the line, and people would try and walk, and they'd get, or sorry, Kinetic Field, excuse me. They'd try and walk, and, you know, it would block them. That was good for some amazing mind games.
Yeah, so not major bugs, just cosmetic stuff and hitboxes mostly that I've seen, but, you know, it's sad.
It's not great, and I don't know. it's not like they don't care. They're patching it very rapidly. I don't know. I'm not saying anything new. But how did this go out the door?
I would love to have an answer to that from Volvo.
That would be very nice. Well, we could run ourselves in circles over that topic all day. Perhaps we should move along and talk about techies. I understand that Techies is a way better hero now, and just less bad design. It's just all around so many positive changes that everyone's a huge fan of.
Colin is watching me put my head in my hands and just, like, sadly rub my temples.
She took her glasses off.
I'm sad. I mean, I haven't played Dota long enough to have gotten in on other heroes when they were, like, League of Legends style ridiculous. So, and I love Techies. I love Techies. So, to have him brought down to earth has been just entirely sad for me. And this was totally enough, and he doesn't need any more nerfs.
And I really like playing against Techies a little bit. First of all, I have seen very little Techies this patch.
Mm-hmm.
But what I have seen, I've actually kind of been a fan of. Like, especially one of my favorite changes was the no stacking landmines. Just because, I mean, just from a, like, wasn't interesting and didn't feel good to have 10 landmines on a single square so that someone just popped. It's so much better to have the staggered landmine field that, I mean, like, visually it looks better. It has a better feel as you're just sort of, like, staggering around trying to find the blind spots and realizing there are no blind spots and you're very dead. It feels like a minefield now. It feels like it was supposed to feel, not just like a single C4 charge attached to your rectum.
I think it's an entirely fair change. That said, about the feeling, I really just... You're right, it's a more sophisticated and interesting play to construct a minefield, but then seeing a Legion commander stagger onto the rune spot and explode for the fifth time in a game is hilarious for a Techies player. I'm thinking of a particular Legion commander, and that was a great game.
You can still do that with remote mines, though. I mean, just land mines, like, that was part of the problem, is that, to me, I mean, like, you know, there are some obvious differences, but in a lot of ways, I felt like there was no space for landmines. Remote mm-hmm. mines were just landmines that were better.
Well, and the, like, the damage reduction, you know, sad, reasonable, sad. But yeah, having the cap taken off of them does open up some really interesting possibilities. Because it really would be, okay, I want 5 at the top of the stairs near the Radiant Creeps. I want... And there are, like, 4 spots where I'd pick to put landmines and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they'd change, but, like, at any given time, there'd be about 4 spots. And now, yeah, you have a lot more flexibility.
And also, like, Techies could really make, like, the enemy team's life a living hell if you gave them a lot of time alone.
Mm-hmm.
But there was, you know, there was eventually a cap on that. You can only have so many landmines out at once, and because of things decaying over time, remotes and stasis also have that timer. But
and
like,
you're just the high ground hero.
Yeah, which, god, high ground against Techies is Woo! Such a fucking nightmare. But there's still, like, now, if you leave a Techies alone... It's like leaving a bacteria alone. It will just continue to grow and grow and grow, and there is no cap.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I guess eventually he'll be like, well, I can't put mines in their fountain. That seems hard. But it just keeps going, and it's great. And I don't think that there's really, like, there's no but on that statement. It's great.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really glad that they've kept him... a really, like, scary hero to not know where he is for extended periods of time. They've kept him fairly effective, but he doesn't feel so maddeningly binary.
Well, and I am sad, of course, about the Quelling Blade thing, but it's true, and Johnny said it in your patch notes, like, you're standing in vision the whole time that you're taking out mines, so in a good minefield, just standing in vision, you know, 4-second bursts of taking out mines, that's still pretty dangerous. That's bad for you.
Yeah, like...
It means I'm going to get a 4-staff before a Yule's now.
Yeah, exactly.
That's going to happen.
Like, it's hard to throw that pitch that as a buff, but you're going to get a lot more opportunity to push that poor Kunkka into the mines.
Yeah, maybe I can get you to pick Batrider once in a while.
Hey... I can get 2 people now with that axe.
I've heard.
Yeah. Still have to farm a blink dagger and a force staff before I can do anything, because who cares about making that hero effective, am I right?
Late game. It's a late game game.
I guess. I don't know. I wish he was more effective earlier, but that's a personal problem. The problem being I pick back Ryder and then I lose. So...
Yeah!
So, how... It's been a big issue, I feel like, for a lot of my friends who play Dota, and for us, thinking, like, if you play Dota, if you play any MOBA, you're gonna run into a lot of negativity of a lot of different kinds. And I guess I want to talk about, like, how do you deal with that negativity? What's your technique for various kinds of negativity coping?
We should probably talk about different kinds, because it definitely varies for me. Mm-hmm. Colin and I played a game last night where we had a teammate who was pretty frustrating, bad at the game, and that's fine. I don't get mad at people for being bad at the game. I'm bad at the game. But also very condescending and very prone to making statements that were obviously untrue. Do we want to tell angry anecdotes, or should we just move on?
We have to tell at least one. There was a point in the game where our Lina went into the enemy jungle, and we had wards there, and she saw...
I had put wards there personally.
She saw one person in the jungle, she went in to gank that one person, and then she got jumped by five people. And then OD ran in, and then who was the third one to run in? I don't remember. Who was
our... Phoenix was our other...
Yeah, Phoenix. Okay, so like, Lina got killed, and then OD ran in, and we had all five of them under ward vision, and he ran into five and got destroyed, and right after he died, then Phoenix ran in and got destroyed. And I want to note that as OD was running in, I was on mic going, "She's dead, don't go in." And then the whole thing ended, and I sort of rubbed my temples and said, admittedly not very helpfully, "Guys, we can't go in one at a time. We're just going to die."
You said against five of them. We can't go one. This is important story.
That is an important detail. Because OD said, "We didn't know there were five at the time." And I think I protested that point at first. I said there were five the whole time, because there were five the whole time.
And Envision.
He said, "Well, we didn't know that." And yes, we really, really did. We really did. If your map awareness is not great, I understand. But you can't try and rub it in my face that you don't know what you're talking about.
So after the argument ends, he buys his only observer ward of the game. This is why I was enraged, personally. I was playing support Sven, which is one of my favorite builds, and I was the person putting up our wards, and we had two wards in their jungle. We had vision of all five of them. This was not a ward problem, friend. This is maybe the angriest I've ever been in Dota. There's one other game where I've been really angry.
That is one of the things, like, you have seen me do it, like, when we play together and, like, someone gets killed early and then just does, like, "We need wards," and I will immediately go on mic and say, I will ping the wards, I will say, "Wards are not the problems, do not blame supports for your fuck-ups. I have no patience for that." I basically do this every single time. That is one where I try and, like, sometimes unnecessarily talk around the problem, but in that one, I'm cutting straight to the chase. Shut the fuck up.
No, TA, you ran straight in at the pudge you had envision. Wards were not the problem. We played two games last night.
For the record. The TA was the other night.
Oh, you're right. TA was the other night.
The other game last night was great.
That's true. That was just a good time.
Yeah, so what is your strategy for dealing with, for lack of a better word, a shithead teammate?
With that one... So last night was actually uncharacteristic for me, and I should say I rarely get that angry. Like, really, I think this is the second time that I've gotten that angry at a teammate. And last night, since I was in the same room with Colin and my sweetheart, I just, like, I became hilariously angry off mic. But I made crazy person threats. I would just sort of growl angry things at him. Again, off, like, not on team chat. I did not confront OD at all that game. I just hated him and wanted him to die. So that was not constructive. Under other circumstances, I really just try to let it go. You know? Like, This is a time to recognize the things I can't control. This techie's who's fighting me for last hits, the other game where I got really angry. Like, okay, I can't change him. I can only change myself.
Yeah, my attitude, like, I was playing Tiny, and I was trying for, a magic burst Tiny, mm-hmm. and he would, like, in the middle of me doing Avalanche, throw the target into prison so that they were safe, so I couldn't do anything, and then when they came out, they would, like, he did prison, I did Toss on an Earthshaker, and he was gonna land an Avalanche, and he put Earthshaker into the prison in midair so that both spells whiffed. And when Earthshaker came out, he echo-slammed us, because of course he did.
When he couldn't prison people, he would Yule's them. Like, he just had to save every target of ours. He explained that he had to do this because he didn't know how to play the hero, so he had to hit all the buttons.
It was... So, that was my frustration, and eventually, I mean, it got to the point where I was like, well, okay, I got in a position where he could do this to me. That was my bad. Have to recognize that he is going to do this at every opportunity, so if you give him the opportunity, you're the one who's screwed up.
So you have the battered spouse solution.
Basically.
Yeah, the negative teammate. I also mute people. In this case, I didn't, because I'd gotten to a kind of angry, where I would just have been paranoid about what he was saying. Like I say, this is only the second time in Dota I've gotten this angry, but I was very angry at OD.
I don't disagree that this is the second time you've gotten that angry, but I do want to note that a lot of the time, like, when a teammate has established themselves as saying nonsensical things, you will give a very angry, "What the fuck are you talking about?" to me. Not team chat, but I hear that with some regularity.
No, that's fair. I definitely get frustrated with people, but I try to make sure it doesn't get to a point, and I try never to bring it to the team.
Yeah, that's important.
Because that doesn't help.
No. So, okay, like, what about, like, so that's a game where there's a teammate who's just driving you crazy. What about when your team is kicking ass, you guys are winning, you're doing real well, and you personally are just getting fucked up. You're eating shit.
So, I almost always support, which means that is less bad for me than it can be. I feel bad about it, but it's like, okay, I'm gonna follow the carries, and I'm gonna ward. Wards, I love to ward, but even if I didn't, it's like, here's one thing I can definitely do. I can buy the wards and put them up. And I'm more likely to focus on trying to get some healing and mana items so that I can, if nothing else, follow people around and heal them. So, that's me personally. I'm just like, okay, I'm a useless sponge with mana boots.
Mm-hmm.
How about you?
I would say that's the one I deal with the worst. I get really, really frustrated. I just get really, I would say, despondent.
Hmm.
I remember playing a game where I was playing Winter Wyvern, and the enemy team had a Doom, and we were playing really well, and every single time there was a fight, Doom would blink at me and doom me and chase me until we both died. He was losing him the game, the fact that he was dooming me, because, like, the first couple of times, it's like, oh, you don't want me to get off Winter's Curse? That makes perfect sense. But you've done it to me so many times at this point that I don't have the farm to do shit, and you are still singling me out. You would be winning the game if you targeted literally anyone else, and you are still single-mindedly pursuing me. And that really makes me, like, I found that pretty upsetting.
That's really frustrating. I've been the witch doctor whose Spirit Breaker just takes out under towers over and over. So yeah, I know what you're talking about, but yeah, it's grim.
I don't know. I mean, I guess, like, usually if your team is winning but you specifically are not, it's because you're playing a support, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, if you're a carry and you're losing, probably your team is losing. Mm-hmm. Though that is not always the case. But, like, I don't know. As long as it doesn't feel like I'm being bullied, mm-hmm. I guess it's okay. But if I feel like I'm being bullied, I just get really exasperated. It's just like, I don't even know what I'm supposed to do here. You guys are being so stupid and it's going to cost you the game, but hey, you're making me sad.
Yeah.
Good for you.
At least my hour sucks.
Yeah. I don't know. And then I guess there's just the... You know, there's the other side of it, which is when you're doing well and your team is not.
Yeah. And again, I'm always playing support, so even if I'm doing really well, if the carries aren't doing well, we're humped.
And, you know, I mean, also, like, if you're the one carry doing well and the rest of the team is not, that's, I don't know, maybe this is just from my point of view, but it feels almost more frustrating because it's like, no, I should be able to turn this around. I'm doing well, and maybe if I was incredible, I could turn this around, but I'm just winning. I'm not destroying,
yeah.
And so I can't make up for four people who are getting crushed. And, like, I've had those games, like, I mean, for me, it usually happens with Wind Ranger because that's the carry I'm the most competent with. And it's just, like, it's sort of that idea of, like, one, no matter how good one soldier is, they can't win a battle by themselves, right? You can only be in one place at a time, and wherever I am not, things are falling apart.
Mm-hmm.
And that actually, I find, like, I don't enjoy that, but that's the part where I just get really, like, I knuckle down and just play my heart out, I think.
Yeah, those games are discouraging, though. We've definitely had games where we're laning together, like a two-stack, and then it gets out of laning phase, and we realize, like, we've just been focusing on our lane, and we're killing it. And we get out of our lane and realize that the other two lanes have just been, like, losing so hard for the last 8 minutes.
It was really great to nip that in the bud last night, because that was happening, and I was playing Undying. And, yeah, so the enemy team started to dive our team bottom, and I was like, okay, I'm coming in. And they killed our drow right as I dropped Tombstone, and then I got a triple kill, and I think Witch Doctor said, Jesus Christ, and then I left. So, that's one of the biggest lessons, is, like, you've got to be paying attention to more than your lane. Mm-hmm. You always have to be paying attention to the whole board, or everything can fall apart. Because also, I mean, like, a lot of the times, like, I feel like we play really well together, mm-hmm. and that's a big factor in us winning. And also, like the matchmaking is trying to compensate for the fact that I have a lot more experience than you,
mm-hmm.
and so I'm usually the most experienced player in the game. But also, like, sometimes it's just like, no, we have a bad lane against us, and the other lanes are not bad,
mm-hmm.
and we need to compensate for that. You know, it's hard to make that call, though.
Yeah. Well, I mean. Bad lane. We had IO mid. There were some weird lanes in that game.
That game was
It was a great game. We had so much fun. And then, like, IO and Witch Doctor decided they were the gank bros and started wandering around the enemy jungle. And they did fine. It was great. Very weird.
They did
game.
Way better than they should have.
Yeah. It was fun.
And then, you know, like, finally they got caught out and they had a good laugh about it. Because, mm-hmm. you know, it shouldn't have worked in the first place.
No.
So and I guess there's the last kind. It seems to me, is the game where it's like, oh, we're 5 minutes in, and this is over. This is so over. And I don't tend to be that guy, but sometimes it's just like, it is 0-12, and we have one carry, and he doesn't know how to last hit. Mm-hmm. Like, this is over.
Or my even less favorite cousin, we seem to be winning for the first 15 minutes of the game, and then we start blowing it so completely that at 30 minutes, we've got another 20 minutes ahead of us, and there's no way. It's not happening. So how do you handle that situation?
Not well.
Yeah.
I don't give up. That's not a thing that I really do. To a fault, I would say. Like, it's in a game where it's like, it's like there is 0-0-0 chance of me turning this around. I will still try, and I will still, like, I don't want to say, like, when I say play my heart out, I don't mean, like, oh, he's having the game of his life, but it's just like, no, I'm leaving it all out on the field, right? Like, I'm doing everything I can think of and devoting my mind to trying to figure this puzzle out. And I'll do that in situations where, like, no, that's just going to make me more stressed out.
Yeah.
But I can't stop myself. It's how I play.
Well, I've seen you be able to stop a couple of times, but it's because someone else on the team sort of breaks the ice,
mm-hmm.
and, like, sets up a fruit stand for the enemy team.
Yeah. If someone just clearly demonstrates, like, not like...
It's okay.
Yeah. It's okay to let go. And I was like, okay, thank you. I needed that. I really needed that.
But no, I mean, I spend a lot of games in that period, like, grimly hanging out under our tier threes and throwing things and sometimes wondering, why am I doing this? Like, I could queue up for another game if I would just wait in the fountain, but no, I don't.
Yeah.
I have had a couple games where I, like, tried to spill things out in wards, you know? But mostly just keep trying until the end, and it's grim.
Yeah.
We're listening for listener input on this, by the way. I'd love to hear how other people deal with these situations, because I don't think we have the ideal solution.
No, and I think the mental fortitude side of Dota is really, like, that's one thing that I really feel like a lot of people understate. The psychology of Dota is really a big deal. And I mean, there's the sort of the pro version of it, right? Which is like, you know, in the drafting and picking phases, you can mess with what people are going to pick by banning certain things or what they're going to do in the next game. But there's also just the lower level stuff of it. Like, how do you bounce back from a loss? How do you rally when your team is behind? How do you look at their picks and say, oh man, we got outpicked, and fight it through it anyway? Mm-hmm. And people just tend to, like... We had a game, you made brief mention of it earlier, where there was a Templar assassin. And the first thing she said when we got into the match was, please be good. She was not.
I have never had somebody start a match off that way who was also good at Dota.
Yeah.
For the record.
She was atrociously bad. I believe she ended the game 3-12, and that was a miracle. She was incredibly bad, and part of that is that, you know, just that she was bad at Dota, but another part of that is attitude, right? Like, one, if you go in sort of a, like oh man, I'm just so sure you guys are gonna suck, tell me you're not gonna suck, that hurts teamwork, that also hurts your attitude. But also, like, think about what that says about you. If the first thing you say is, boy, I hope you guys aren't terrible, why is that your instinct? Is it perhaps that you're not pulling your own weight?
And I gotta say, in the late game, Winter Wyvern and I was Dazzle. Winter Wyvern and Dazzle spent a lot of time healing each other rather than healing TA. Like, yeah, sorry, we're losing anyway, but he seemed like a real jackass.
I almost salvaged that one. I didn't really, but I don't know. I tried.
You did try.
I try the way I always do. Oh. I didn't really almost salvage it. We were doomed. We were doomed the whole time.
That Pudge got so fed. With Templar Assassin stakes.
Yeah, like at one point, like, TA just went, like, dove their tower against Pudge. Oh. And who was the other person?
I don't even remember. I only remember the other part.
You only remember what's coming up. I think it was Necrophos. Anyway. And, like, she realized that she was not going to win this fight, so she hit meld. And then Pudge just walked up and dismembered her because she melded, like, 3 feet away from the tower and they could see her.
Yeah.
And I said in chat afterwards, I was like, they've got detection, you know, with their towers. I was like, oh, maybe she doesn't know, right? And she said, yeah, I thought I was far enough away. It's like, well, in what world?
Listen, you were underneath the tower.
Like, if your animation had been different, your arms would have bumped against it. You were not out of range. I don't know.
And we all do dumb things. Like, yes. To be clear, we all do dumb things. But there's an attitudinal component that can really make a game a slog.
And more than that, like, on an individual, like, on a game-by-game level, your attitude can have a big effect on the outcome. But the most important thing in Dota, in any part of Dota, is learning and getting better. Mm-hmm. And if you have a bad attitude, you're not going to.
Yeah, if the problem's always your teammates, then it's going to be hard to improve.
Yeah.
Because they just keep pairing you with idiots game after game.
Yeah, amazing. Trench tier MMR.
And as one of those idiots, it's true that sometimes I'm going to narrow my eyes at you and then shallow grave the Winter Wyvern.
I don't know. It's rough, you know? Like, sometimes you're totally right. Like, sometimes the problem really is your team. Mm-hmm. Ask yourself, saying that, what is that going to achieve?
This is why I don't get on mic when I get angry at teammates.
Like, we actually had a completely different conversation earlier where I ended up saying, you can't make a relationship work by doing what's fair. Like, maybe it would be fair for you to chew these people out. That's not going to make them play better. That's not going to make them encouraged and try. Like,
in that game with the TA. Or no. In that game with the OD.
Mm-hmm.
At the very end of the game, when we're clearly going to win it, because we did, we came back, it was great. When we're clearly going to win it, Phoenix gets on mic and says, "Oh man, I really thought we were going to give it away for a while there. Way to go, you guys." Phoenix at no point got on the mic and said, "We're really blowing it, you guys, come on, get your shit together." Like, Phoenix was communicating, but never brought up the negative part. But when we got it back together, Phoenix got on mic and was like, "High five, everybody."
Yeah.
It would have been fair to say we were blowing it before, but it's not constructive.
Yeah. You have to think about, I mean, it's such a simple thing. You have to think about what your words are going to do. And, like, I don't know, all of this stuff just feels like, yeah, I learned that in kindergarten. It's like, well, then why are you still fucking it up?
Yeah. Take those lessons from Sesame Street and apply them to Dota.
Yeah. And, you know, obviously, we're not here to chew anybody out. It's just sort of, it's one of the effects of the game, mm-hmm. right? Is we get so invested and so passionate that we forget some basic lessons we know in normal life. I don't know. I guess that's been corny enough for one episode.
Maybe for this week, yeah.
Yeah. How about we roll right into Fan Fiction Corner?
Speaking of corny. Okay. Okay. I should introduce the piece first. I chose Night Silver Tales by ACHUS93.
ACHUS93?
Could be. I think this is a relatively successful Dota fanfic. It is certainly long. When I started reading it, it was 84 chapters. It is now 86 chapters. I'm going to be honest with you. I made it slightly over 30 chapters in. Colin told me that I should stop reading it because I was not enjoying it. And I said, I just need to find out whether Luna and Mirana hook up. And, well, we'll come back to that. So, it's the Dark Moon Coffee Shop. Owned by some moon goddess or other. Run by Mirana. Luna's the barista. PA is the pastry chef. TA is the waitress and college student. And it's so boring. In my personal experience, a lot of people like it. It is not the best written I've ever read, but far from the worst. But really, it's just chapter after chapter of, like, a Dota character comes in, accurately described, but made human. They're all human. Maybe gets coffee, maybe sasses Luna, they make reference to their dark past, and then that's it. I got stupendously bored, and big exciting things would happen, but just in a very boring way. Slark comes up to Luna and says, I need you to help me escape, and she's like, why would I help you escape? We are not allies, and he's like, no, but totally, I need the help. And then Bounty Hunter comes out and says, thanks for the help being bait, Luna, and Slark is arrested. Like, it is a better written, like, 7-year-old storytelling. I think this is the meanest I've ever been, and it's the best written one that I've read. So, I'll give you a couple clips, but, yeah.
I mean, it sounds like it is the best written, but the least, has the least heart.
Yeah, I think that's what I resent, that it feels so, just sort of straight, like a sitcom-y, flat, straightforward. And then I all got lattes! Like, okay. It all feels very low stakes. So, let's see. I saved some clips and I'm trying to decide. What would be a good place to start? I don't know. Do you have any preference, Colin? Any character you'd especially like to hear about?
I mean, not Mirana.
Not Mirana. Well, how about, okay, Luna and Mirana clearly have a lot of conflict. You said you wanted Mirana, right? Luna and Mirana clearly have a lot of conflict. The story basically starts out with Mirana grabbing Luna's breasts and Luna getting angry. So I sort of thought this was going to be like harem anime, but apparently they never get together.
Must be disappointing for you.
I just wanted something to happen and feel like something happened.
I just wanted to feel something, god damn it.
That's it. So, I'm going to read you the section in which they resolve all of their tension for the rest of the series. This is pretty early on. An awkward silence filled the air as the truth had been laid out on the table. The truth is very boring, don't worry about it. Lanaya was still waiting for one thing, though, until she's sure everything was fine. Luna then looked straight at Mordred, the anger no longer in her eyes. I'm sorry, this is where PA and Luna straighten out their business. Mirana has a whole different problem going on. I'm sorry. There it is, Linaya thought, a relieved smile hidden in her face mask. The tears fell silently as Mordred heard those words, eternally grateful that things had, or at least would, work out. They've just tried to murder each other. Linaya then stood up, grabbing their attention as she took the groceries she had brought and turned on Luna's stove. Now that we got that out of the way, it's time for breakfast, she said. All three of them laughed, especially how hungry they were after all of that.
Murdering people is hungry work.
Really, like, there's sort of high-tension setups, and it doesn't ever. So, to wrap up, I went to the most recent chapter to try to figure out whether Luna and Mirana ever hook up. Apparently not. And I saw a couple reviews that convinced me to stop reading. One, TA is not a virgin anymore. Sad emoticon. Or is she? Next review. So Linaya and Rubik actually had sex, right? I bet Rubik was a gentle lover. It is so cute seeing them together. Like, all right, I'm out. Peace out. Good luck, fanfiction. I mean, I saved a bunch more clips that I could read to you about Queen of Pain being a mother of two and gentle and understanding, but having past tense. It's all extraordinarily boring. Sorry. Maybe you will find it more compelling. A lot of people like it a lot. That's what I got. Any questions, Colin?
I guess the first question is, why did you stick with this for so long? What, you look at a lot of these fanfiction. You look at a lot of them. And you look at them and you're like, nope, I don't think this is the one. What made you give this one such a shot?
Because everything that I read felt like setup. It has all felt like setup for something to happen. Even when little things would occur, like an event, like, oh man, and this is a prelude to nothing again. They went hiking, and Lone Druid was sad that he couldn't bring his bear. Okay. Alright, but this is set up for when Techies came in and got a cup of coffee and then left and nothing happened. Like, it all feels like set up for something. And it very well could be. Clearly the author is still working on it. But I just...
It's a long con.
I felt like I had to give it a fair shot, you know? I don't want to come in and trash something after I've read 20 words of it. That feels unfair. On the other hand, after I've read 30 chapters of it, I'm fairly resentful. I did it to myself, but, yeah, I'm more frustrated than I would have been if I'd stopped earlier.
Hmm. I mean, are there any characters that you came out of it being like, well, I like this representation of this person. I liked Phantom Assassin as a pastry chef. Who speaks too much French.
Yeah. I suppose Witch Doctor, because the portrayal of Witch Doctor, like, she's made everyone straight up human, which means that Witch Doctor appears probably racist. So she went out of her way to make him just an extraordinarily good doctor, very sensitive and very talented, although he does use folk remedies, which is some bullshit. So I liked that, that she's clearly, like, the intentions are good. The fanfiction is bad.
I mean... Okay. So I'll say a few things here. Yeah. I assume she has not included the entire cast yet.
Not yet, but we know this because looking at the reviews, people are begging for Centaur Warrunner.
So she's been selective in who she's included.
That might be an overstatement.
She's included Troll, and she didn't have to.
Oh, she loves Troll. He's very sassy. He gives the ladies some lip. But Luna doesn't stand for that. It's like, if you've ever seen those clips of Big Bang Theory with the laugh track stripped out. And if you haven't, you really owe it to yourself.
Ugh, that's dark. I guess it is the Dark Moon Cafe. That seems appropriate, then.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, like, you showed me a little bit of Windranger. She seemed okay.
Yeah, and in fact, there is a review asking for more Legion Commander and Windranger, who appear to be maybe dating and not annoying when I saw them. No, I mean, plenty of it is fine. I think almost any of it is fine, just reading it. It's just, there's no there.
There's no soul.
Yeah. I mean, we got quite a bit of drama with Venge. I guess the way you'd expect. That's totally fair. But it just, yeah, it feels sort of insubstantial.
That's unfortunate. Well, at least we're going to be rolling with this train for a bit, because...
Speaking of insubstantial fiction.
Because we're going to roll right on to Luna and Marana in honor of them being in this fan fiction, being our lore of the week. So, we'll do Marana's first, because it will take half a sentence, basically. She's the moon princess. Ta-da! she is in service of the goddess Selimene, goddess of the moon, and basically she is patrolling the Night Silver Woods to catch poachers, I guess? I don't know. I don't like Marana as a character. I like playing Marana.
Or as a model.
She's kind of fun. God, the face! I had to
set you up for it.
I was gonna try and not do it this time, but like, maybe that's her real lore, right? Like, she was a princess. She's the princess. She's the princess of the moon. But she wasn't always like the crown princess. Maybe she was off doing other things. Well, maybe her older sister was ruling. She was off playing hockey. Getting her face slammed in a car door. Something.
Maybe she's a Batman villain and had to rebuild her face out of Play-Doh.
Maybe. Man, if it was Clayface the whole time. I wish she was more interesting, because she's pretty fun to play. And she should be cool. She's a princess on a cat.
From the moon!
Of
the moon!
Yeah.
She should be from the moon. That's what she needs. She needs to be a princess of Barsoom.
Should she be from the Mad Moon?
I liked the Barsoom idea personally, but we could go Mad Moon. It's Edgar Rice Burroughs' Princess of Mars series. It's a very different moon.
I would imagine. Is it Phobos?
It's our moon. It's just not... it's not what you think. You should totally read those books. Everybody should totally read those books, but I guess this is quite a tangent.
Yes. Luna's is better. I promise. So, Luna's used to be the scourge of the plains. She was basically a warlord from the plains. And, she had a horde doing a lot of, raiding and pillaging, and everybody was scared of her. And eventually she got separated from them. She was basically lost. She was wandering through the woods. Her army was mostly dead, and she came upon the Night Silver Woods. And she, went in looking for food, basically, and she got attacked by a massive cat. And they fought for a while, and they were both about to kill each other when they were interrupted by the followers of Selimene, who were like, yep, that was a test. You kind of passed. and basically the deal was like, okay, you will follow Selimene, you will be, one of our warriors, or we're going to kill you. And she was like, ah, shit, sure. So she now rides the cat into battle and throws bladed boomerangs at everybody, and she's the best. She's cool. I like her.
Yeah.
She's way cooler than Marana.
And she's a barista, apparently.
Apparently. Are there any, like, bouncing glaive jokes in there?
No.
That's a bummer.
Bountiful bosom was a phrase that I saw. We had that.
I have noticed some fixation on the part of the community.
Well, she's got the Magneto hat on. You've got to make sure she's adequately feminine.
Fair, fair.
No.
Okay, I guess not. And we're also doing our Ags of the Week is going to be Marana, because Luna already has one, and it's actually like figuring it out, trying to figure out a way to make it better, because right now no one ever wants it. But it's kind of cool. You cast Eclipse on an ally, or you can cast it on yourself still, and basically we'll follow them around instead, and it also does more beams, so that's kind of neat. You can do some real fun stuff with Io that way. But yeah. So, what is your idea for Marana's Aghanim's upgrade?
Her ult also gives true sight to all the allies on... Yeah, herself and all her allies.
So how do you see people using that?
I think it would be pretty amazing for if you're using it like a smoke to go in. I think it'd be less useful on escape. Not unuseful, but I think if you're going into their jungle, if you're looking for, you can you could use it to deward, but also, like, for sneaking up on people, including invisible people. I just think it'd be, or, you know, you could go in to take out a minefield, I guess.
Would it be disabled? Like, if you attack during Moonlight Shadow, you fade back into, you know, visibility for a few seconds and then fade out again if you stop. Mm-hmm. Would you maintain true sight through that?
I want to say yes. Okay. But that, if that's too good, then I'm flexible. But I think, yeah, I think you shouldn't lose it. Like, if you target someone, if you use it in order to target someone, you shouldn't lose sight of them once you attack them.
Well, I mean, maybe you see them and then it's like, okay, so we need to drop a sentry or we need to throw dust.
Yeah, okay. Well, then in that case, I like the idea better if it does fade the same way that the invisibility
or
does.
Also it could be like, okay, you two attack, I will stay here and grant you vision.
Mm.
And I guess the other question, I don't know, I mean, like, are you worried about people just using it to deward? Like, just being like, okay, I'm gonna hit this and I'm gonna go deward.
I mean, if you want to spend 4,200 gold to make it easier to deward and the cooldown, go for it.
I guess that's true. Yeah, I mean, I think that's one thing is actually you could use it to escape pretty easily because you hit it, you know, you'd hit the stealth to sneak away and then you could kill the sentries along the way to make sure you got away. Yeah, I think, I don't know, I think it could be kind of weird, but I'm down with the idea.
Well, what's your idea?
My idea is giving her a new ability that changes based on whether it's night or day. It is definitely a support ability. I think, like, semi-carry Morana is a thing, and I don't really feel any need to boost that side of her. So basically, during the day, it is an ability with global range that you cast to grant yourself vision of an area. And during, like, any area, it's targeted AoE. And at night, it does the opposite. No, I got it backwards.
You did get it backwards.
I got it backwards.
Giving you a look of concern. That's different.
We set up our ideas, and we were going to elaborate on them here, but we set up what the ideas were, and I got it backwards. So, okay, at night, it grants vision, and during the day...
Moon Princess.
Yes, the moon shining down, providing light. During the day, it creates fog of war at the target area. And I think we agreed that it would start as a small area and then expand to fill the whole area and stay there for a few seconds, linger. Just so that you couldn't just, like, cast a block of fog of war on someone's head and suddenly they couldn't see shit or do anything. That seems maybe a little too
It's pretty intense.
Yeah. But I, so there are questions that I hadn't figured out. For instance, like, does it only block, like, does it not block hero vision, but blocks wards and towers and buildings? Or does it block everything, for instance?
I mean, there's a limit to how much it could block hero vision, right? Like, they'd have to be able to see where they were, right?
Would they?
Yes. I'm gonna say yes.
Okay, so how about it, like, if they're within it, their vision is supremely restricted.
Yeah, I think that's totally fair.
Okay.
Yeah, no ally vision, no creep vision, no ward vision, no tower vision.
But within the fog. Like, if you are within the fog, you can still see stuff outside of it that's mm-hmm. shared.
Yeah, just in that area.
Okay. Other questions are, for instance, like, I don't know, like, is there any, like, when you are getting the vision at nighttime, mm-hmm. is there any indication to the enemy? Do they see some effect on the area?
I want to say no. Is that too messed up?
No, I think that's probably okay.
No, they don't need to know where you have vision.
The other thing is, what kind of cooldown are we talking about? And
bad.
Bad? Like, 60 seconds, or?
I was thinking, like, 80, but 60 seconds, sure. It's late enough in the game.
Well, how long would it last?
Well, what do you think?
I think it takes 3 seconds to grow to full size, and once it's at full size, it lingers for, yeah, another 3 would be fine. A total of 6 seconds?
80 seconds.
Okay.
That's really good. That's really good. You could blow it, but you can blow just about any power.
I mean, having vision, like, the Fog of War 1 is way better. Mm-hmm. Is frankly the problem, I guess. Like, having vision of an area for 6 seconds is not that crazy good. It's very useful. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't seem
It's not disgusting.
Right. Maybe we should make it more disgusting.
I don't know. I mean, the day one is really disgusting. Like, you can, if they have no ally vision, then it's going to have to be that, like, that Dragon Knight in the fog going, they're here, they're all here, because none of his allies can see it. They're like, they're where? All we can see is your model. Like, that one's pretty gross.
That one's really gross. I mean, do we want it just to be, like, the nighttime one is a consolation prize?
No, I think the nighttime one is also useful, and I like it that it serves such a different purpose.
How about...
Uh-oh.
How about if you cast one at night, you know, grows to full size, and it stays there for the rest of the night?
How long is the night in the day-night cycle?
I'm not sure.
Well, that's something to look up, because if it's 6 seconds, then we can talk about it.
Okay, I see your point. That's probably too good.
Don't get me wrong, I'm the guy who likes them when they're too good, but, you know, it's possible to cross a line. Like, for example, making it easy to pick out Phantom Lancer's illusions, like, just looking at them.
That was such a good idea.
It's such a bad idea. This is Emily Two Dragons Dalton telling you what a bad idea that was.
That was such a good idea. I don't know. I
4 minutes. You cannot have, like, excellent vision of that range, and we should decide how big the range is for four
minutes.
We'd
already decided it was global. It's global.
It's global? No! 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 No, no, no. No. No.
I guess you don't like that idea.
No! Global? Are you out of your mind? None of the enemy team can see each other or any shared vision or any tower vision or anything. Global?
What are you talking about?
The daytime part?
We're not saying no shared vision.
Oh, no, no. I mean the range of, like, how big the circle gets.
No! Oh, my God.
That's why.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
You were like, man, she's really overreacting. You need to be able to cast her from far away. No.
Okay. No, I'm thinking, like, a little bit smaller than Call Down.
Okay. Yeah. No. That's, yeah. That's very reasonable.
Okay.
Global. Welcome to hell, everybody.
Oh, that would be... How about that be the Ags upgrade for the Ags? If you get two, the world is over. Ugh. That's actually an intro... What if you had an Ags... I don't... This is a later topic, but Ags on Ags. What if there was a tier two?
Put that in notes for next week.
Okay. The nighttime one needs a change, though. The nighttime one isn't good enough.
I think the nighttime one shouldn't be as good as the daytime one, because the daytime one is good enough on its own to be the thing.
But then you're just not gonna... Well, okay, you're gonna be really specific with the cooldown of it, right? It's like, oh, night's almost over. Guess I won't use this ability.
On the other hand, if nighttime is 4 minutes, and the cooldown is 80 seconds, and it lasts for 6 seconds, you can cast it day and night every time.
Cast it twice each.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. That's true. Okay. What if the cooldown was shorter if you cast it at night?
No. I know you, as a Dota player, wish to make this more complicated, but no. Day is just better. It's better during the day, but it's also cool and useful at night.
Right.
I like that kind of imbalance, personally.
Yeah, I guess that's fair. But, like, okay... What if daytime also told you which Phantom Lancer illusion was the real one?
I think we're hitting the end of the episode. I just got this sense.
All right, that's fair. So...
Lunatic.
Gosh. So, Bottle Crow Podcast is a part of the Scanline Media site. We're at scanlinemedia.com. We also have a Patreon at patreon.com/scanlinemedia, where you can chip in to help us, you know, keep servers running and maybe expand this enterprise of ours. You can find Bottle Crow on Twitter at @bottlecrow. Our email address, if you have any questions or comments, is bottlecrowpodcast@gmail.com. A big thanks to Reddit user Promoti for use of his Harmonies of New Bloom music pack, which is our intro and outro for this podcast. And also, he has a new music pack that he's working on, which is, I believe, the Highlander music pack. I have yet to give it a listen because I've been traveling, but it sounds exciting. Big fan of that guy's work. Yeah, we're on iTunes. You should rate us and review us and definitely tell your friends. It's how we spread the word.
Get on your mom's computer and subscribe for her.
Absolutely. She will understand everything.
Or she'll never notice.
One of the two. All right. I think that's everything we got.
Yeah. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah. We'll be back next week. And you guys?
2 weeks.
I do that every time, don't I?
I do it too. We'll be back when it's time for another episode. Bye.
Bye.